All right, let's get to him. He's in Texas right now at the South by Southwest Film Festival, and we welcome to the show Eric Childress. Hi, Eric.
Hello, sir.
How are you, buddy?
I'm good.
Good. All right, now, the South by Southwest Film Festival, how many times have you, this is your, what number fest?
14th year.
Jeez. Wow.
Since 2003.
Man, time is just flying by, man.
It's ridiculous. I know.
And you've been giving us reports live from all the film festivals that you go to, including South by Southwest. Where do you rank South by Southwest? It's a fun festival, I would imagine, right? Because there's a music festival that happens right around the same time.
Yeah, and it's actually, to me, I always call it, like, my favorite festival just for a number of reasons. One, there's a real loose atmosphere out here. The accessibility is very easy to get to all the venues and whatnot, especially recently. They've really upped their game with that. But it's also it's like that transition from, like, crappy winter to, like, spring is coming.
Yeah.
Because it's like, here's, you know, when South by Southwest rolls around, it's March, and with March comes spring, with spring comes baseball. You know, so it's a good time of the year.
That's right. And with this year comes World Series.
Exactly.
So that's what everybody's saying. Eric, you know, you and I are both lifelong Cub fans.
Mm-hmm.
I'm terrified that every publication is picking the Cubs to win at least 100 games this year.
I know.
Isn't that?
I know.
It's unbelievable.
We just have to try to enjoy the ride and to cool the jets of anyone. Like, if the Cubs lose, like, three games in a row, they're going to be panic.
Well, that's what I was trying to...
That's what you have to worry about.
Last October, when they won the one-off against Pittsburgh, and people were going completely nuts, I'm like, hey, you need to shelf that. I mean, you know, at that point, they didn't even win the division yet, you know?
Right.
And people were, like, blowing stuff up. My neighborhood, there were skyrockets flying all over. I'm like, they just won a game against Pittsburgh, man. Just take it easy. So.
I think it was Rizzo or Bryant or someone, maybe it was even Epstein, who said something like, we know that we're the defending third place team. You know, so
they're going to be fun to watch, man. Did you see the new T-shirts that are out?
No,
there are new T-shirts that have the rimmed glass. You know, the black rimmed glasses that Madden wears.
Sure.
So it's the frames. It's in blue. It's a blue T-shirt, a Cubby blue. And the frames, it's just the frames, and underneath the frames it says, try not to suck, because that's what Madden tells them all the time.
Cubs have certainly associated with glasses frames over the years.
They have, I know. It's pretty crazy. It's going to be a fun year, regardless. So, anyway, spring brings eternal, and thusly, this is why it's one of your favorite film festivals.
Absolutely.
Okay, we were going to break here, but before we do, how long have you been there? When did you get there?
Friday afternoon.
Okay, so you've been there since Friday. It is now Monday morning. How many movies have you seen?
In town, I've seen 9 movies.
Okay.
And which is a little light. I mean, Friday is a short evening.
Yeah.
That just kicks things off. So, and then yesterday I had a bunch of meetings, and that cut into some movie time. But I have seen, like, 25 movies before I got to the festival.
That are
so
all
we'll
playing
some of those
as part of the festival. Okay, cool. All right, Eric, hang on. And you'll give us an update on what's going on. It's the South by Southwest Film Festival, and Eric is giving us exclusive previews. A lot of the movies that are playing the South by Southwest Film Festival, Eric is getting to see them beforehand, and we will get to see them in the coming weeks or months. And this is, like, exclusive, cool previews of what's happening at the South by Southwest Film Festival. And then after Eric gives us his report, we will welcome Colin Suter here, and we will review all the new movies right here on WGN, as we do every Monday morning. All right, let's take a break. We'll come back, and we'll get more reports from Eric. Morning, everybody. Nick DiGilio here on 720 WGN, live in the Allstate studio, 7th floor of the Trib Tower. We've got Dan Chigrou here, the fantastic Esmeralda Leon, and the awesome Vic Vaughn. Now a full team for our radio show on the overnights. We're very excited about it. And Eric Childress joins us to review movies every Monday, although it'll be Colin and I reviewing the movies later on, because Eric is in Austin at the South by Southwest Film Festival, and we're going to get a live report from Eric. By the way, Eric, I know that you haven't had time to see 10 Cloverfield Lane yet.
Correct.
Colin and I will review it later, but let me just say, you need to see it.
Oh, I can't wait.
That's all I'm going to. That's all I'm saying, man. And should. Here's the deal. They should just give a scepter and a crown to John Goodman. Well, he was King
Ralph.
He was King Ralph, but now he's, as far as I'm concerned, the king of the world. He is. I love John Goodman, and man, So we'll talk about that later with Colin.
Yeah.
All right. Where you want us? Wherever you want to start, man. You're giving us the previews of some of the stuff you saw here.
Well, there are two movies specifically that you wanted to make sure that I saw.
Yes.
So we might as well talk about those to kick things off.
Okay.
And the first of them is the one you are most looking forward to, and that's Keanu.
Keanu is the new movie from Key and Peele.
Yes. Jordan Peele co-wrote the film. Both of them star in the film. If you've seen the trailer, it's a story of Jordan Peele plays a guy who's just broken up with his girlfriend, and this very tiny kitten comes into his life and basically turns his life around. Little does he know that this cat is actually the property of a drug dealer, and it has run away from this drug dealer into his life. And when the cat is taken back, him and his friend, played by Keegan-Michael Key, go on this journey to pose as drug dealers to find out what happened and get their cat back.
Right.
Yes. And obviously you are a gigantic Key and Peele fan, yeah. And you turned me on to Key and Peele many, many seasons ago, and I've been a huge fan since. With this movie, it seems clear to me that even they are not averse to sketches that run on way, way too long.
Okay.
That's the sort of the sense that I got watching the movie. I think it starts off in really strong, really funny stuff early on, even adding like this really sort of nice emotional component to the relationship with the cat.
Right.
But then it gets, I mean, seriously, when you see the preview and you see them, you know, as the drug deal and stuff, that's the movie. That's essentially the entire movie is what you see in the trailer. Mm-hmm. And by like the 18th George Michael joke in the film, I was just like, come on, guys, like find something else to latch onto. And then it gets incredibly violent by the end, mm-hmm. Sometimes comically so, sometimes just over the top so. And it just gets to the point where I think it even just forgets that there's a cat even in the movie. So I was incredibly disappointed, but I'm sure there are a lot of people that disagree, and I bet you probably still like it.
Okay. All right. So that's Keanu. Yeah. And that opens at the end of April, right?
Yeah.
April 29th. Okay. And was it complete, the cut that you saw? Cause I heard it was like a rough cut.
Yeah. When they say work in progress here at South By, that basically means there are no end credits.
Oh, okay.
That's every single time it's a work in progress, don't say anything, you know, and then just like the movie ends and there's no credits.
Okay.
Basically. So, there is a really funny joke during that. They do like a recap of the cast during the credits, and there's a really funny gag about who plays one of the characters in the movie.
Okay, cool.
Yeah.
All right, so that's Keanu. Eric, you were disappointed, but I don't care.
Right, no. Because it's impervious.
It's Key and Peele, it's cats, it's George Michael. I could, you know, I'm there.
Yeah.
So.
Exactly.
All right. Now, the other one, which I have not seen, and I just see, Eric, they actually have a release date for it in theaters now.
Yes, they do.
May 13th. So they're actually going to release it, like, right when all the comic book movies are coming out.
Yeah.
And this is the reason I asked you to talk about this one is because it's got the most insane like poster I've ever seen and the weirdest casting ever.
Yep.
And it is a movie called The Trust, which stars Nicolas Cage, Elijah Wood, and Jerry Lewis.
Yeah.
Okay, so tell us about this movie.
And normally when you set up that cast, you could just at this point you could just stop at Nicolas Cage and just go, oh, it's going to be crap.
Yeah.
You know, it's you were at this point, but then you just add the Jerry Lewis component on it. You go, what the hell is this all about?
Yeah.
And so Nicolas Cage and Elijah Wood play a couple of cops, and Nicolas Cage comes upon this sort of mysterious vault that some bad guys have hidden, and he teams up with Elijah Wood to find out exactly where this thing is and to break into it and, you know, steal all of its content.
So there's some dirty cop movies in the past few weeks here.
Yes, there have. There certainly have.
Yeah.
And Jerry Lewis plays Nicolas Cage's father in the movie. He's in one scene. He's in all of one scene.
Yeah.
And at the end of the scene, you can actually, like, see Jerry, like, kind of just turned to the camera just a little bit as if to say, are we done here? It just, seriously, watch the end of the scene between Cage and Lewis, and you just see Lewis kind of just look at the camera like, okay, are we done? You know, and that's the last you see of him for the entire movie.
That's fantastic.
Yeah, so if you're going to see this for Jerry Lewis, you will be disappointed.
Yeah.
That being said, on the sort of the Nicolas Cage scale that we've had, like, I guess, like, post-Joe.
Yeah.
Post a lot of things recently, but, you know, Joe was really good.
Yes.
But, you know, Cage has, you know, gone back to doing a lot of, you know, really bad fantasy movies and bad straight-to-video movies. And this one seems like it would be right in that line, except a couple things. One, we're back to, like, crazy Cage. You know, we're back to, you know, the sort of the really fun Cage,
like,
performances.
Like Bad Lieutenant Cage.
Yeah, but even more so.
Oh, God, really?
He's crazier in this than he is in Bad Lieutenant.
Oh, God.
Oh, yeah.
All right.
Maybe I'm misjudging because I haven't seen Bad Lieutenant in a while. But
yeah.
I mean, he's just this is the, you know, him, like, dancing around and, like, doing funny voices and has a strange mustache.
Yeah,
Nicolas Cage, you know, and Elijah Wood is actually a really good foil for him. So and basically it kind of turns into, like, The Score, the Robert De Niro, Edward Norton movie.
Yeah,
you know, it's basically along those lines, and it's not great, but not that bad.
Yeah,
is like a 4-star Nicolas Cage movie these days.
Yeah,
you know, and it really is. It really isn't not. It's really not bad, and it's not just going to the theaters. It is. I think it's also the VOD release for that.
Mm-hmm.
And it makes for a good solid weekend matinee VOD rental.
All right, cool.
Yeah,
I'm glad to hear that. I'm glad to hear that because I like crazy Nicolas Cage.
Oh, you're going to like this, then.
Because, you know, I mean, my favorite Nicolas Cage performance of all time is Vampire's Kiss.
Yeah.
That's my favorite. And, you know, it's really funny. I really am excited just to see the one scene between the two of them because, you know, clearly Cage loves Jerry Lewis. No question. All you have to do is watch Peggy Sue Got Married. That's
right.
I mean, all you got to do is watch his performance in Peggy Sue Got Married. He should have cut a check to Lewis.
Right, exactly.
So, but I'm excited just for that one scene and to find out that it's actually not that bad a movie. That's cool.
Yeah. No, I think you might actually enjoy it.
Okay.
Because I think it's just kind of missing that little extra bit of panache that would really sort of, you know, make it stand out.
Yeah.
You know, it's better than generic, but it's just kind of missing just a little spice.
Okay. All right, cool. All right, hang on, okay, Eric?
Okay.
All right, Eric Childress telling me about two movies that I was really excited about seeing that were at South by Southwest Film Festival. And we'll come back and hear more from Eric, and then Colin will join us to review the new movies. Morning, everybody. How you doing? Nick DiGilio here on 720 WGN. Here till 5 a.m. Steve Grzanich in the opening bell at 5. Steve Cochran at 6. And we are once again welcoming Vic Vaughn to the team here, and we're happy that Vic is here, and Esmeralda is in traffic. Hi, Esmeralda.
Hi.
So I can't wait to hear about you boogieing. Getting down.
Sure.
Getting down.
I can say this. I'm very tired.
Okay, because you were boogieing with V all weekend.
Right. Okay. Just, I'm getting older.
You're getting older. All right. We all are. Welcome to the club. And then Dan Chigrou producing, so it's a full team here on the overnights now. Very excited about this stuff. And by the way, for Vic Vaughn, we do need a nickname for him for Friday, for Fly James Friday. We have some coming in real quick, Vic.
There was not even time to let that simmer. How could I have a nickname already?
It's not chosen yet, but Dan, you've been fielding some through the text at 312-981-7200. And Vic, I would like you to know that Kristen Decker immediately texted me three of them.
What has she got?
So the lovely Kristen Decker, who you know, obviously.
Oh, yeah, definitely.
She says, she sent three. Picking the hits, Vic. Can't go wrong with Vaughn.
That does not rhyme, Kristen, technically.
And Slick Vic.
I like them all. They're all potential. I'm so surprised she's up right now.
I don't know. She doesn't work on Mondays.
Oh, okay.
So she's off here.
Hi,
on
Kristen.
Mondays. Yeah, Kristen, I love Decker. She rules. She also just texted
she's
me
awesome.
Right now as I was reading these on my phone. She said, Vic, not Vince Vaughn.
That's definitely.
Well, that's not
a good one, actually.
It's good, but that's not very fly. I mean, it's got to be like a fly, you know, funky Esmeralda. I mean, you know, you got to come up with something funky, right? You're Esmeralda the Heart Melda.
I know, and you're Wiki Wiki.
Right, and DJ Shagru, so it's got to be something funky, something fly jams, although I like Vic, not Vince.
That is pretty good.
Well, I'm sure you've heard that, like, you're half, you know, at least since Vince Vaughn became popular. I
hear
imagine.
It a lot, especially here on the station. Yeah,
people just, let's go to the newsroom now with Vince Vaughn.
It's happened.
I know it's happened. I've almost done
His little brother. What is he, like 6'10 or something?
Yeah, exactly. All right, well, welcome, Vic, and we'll come up with a nickname for you for Fridays. And then we'll hear Esmeralda's story about getting down and getting funky with the early 2000 jams. Okay. Nut, Eric Childress is here, and he's giving us a report live from the South by Southwest Film Festival in Austin, Texas. Hey, Eric.
Hey, man.
Okay. Whatever you want. Yeah.
Okay, what about Les Vics et Chic?
Ooh, Les Vics et Chic. Oh, that's not bad. Write that one down, Dan.
There you go.
We're keeping the list going because we got people texting them in and stuff. All right, Eric, you're at the film festival, South by Southwest. We've talked about a couple of movies. Wherever you want to go next, let's do it.
Okay. Well, I came all the way to Austin to see a movie set in Chicago. And it's a movie called Operator. And it stars Martin Starr, who works for a company that is trying to come up with a operator voice. We've all been there. We've all had to deal with that operator voice that doesn't recognize what we're saying and drives us nuts and whatnot. So they're trying to come up with the perfect operator voice for a healthcare system that will get you to the right thing and actually maybe even possibly empathize with your plight a little bit. And he comes up with the perfect voice is actually his wife, who's played by Mae Whitman. And so she records a bunch of stuff for the company. And Martin Starr actually, who has panic attack issues, becomes sort of comforted more often than not by the actual voice that his wife has recorded for his business. So you have what is sort of like a kind of a distant cousin to her in a way, the way sort of he falls in love all over again with a version of his wife in the movie. And it's a really solid film. It's funny. It's really funny at times. It's a really good cast, not just Mae Whitman, but Matt Faxon is in it. Retta from Parks and Recreation is in it. Mm-hmm. Christine Lottie is in it. It's a lot of it actually takes place within the confines of the neo-futurists.
I know I know Logan, who directed this movie. Logan Kibbins, I know her.
Okay.
I've known her from years back. She used to work a lot with Helena and Barrel of Monkeys. And she's been a really part of the Chicago film scene for a long time. She's a really, really cool person and very, very talented. And it's great to see her name on a full-length feature.
Yeah, and she did a fine job.
Good.
Because this is a good movie, and hopefully we'll be seeing it in Chicago at some point later this year. But, yeah, Cameron Esposito is also in it. It's a solid piece of work.
Good. Yeah, Logan's great, man. She's a real talent, and I'm really, really happy for her. She's very, very cool. So I've known her. God, I knew her like for 16 years ago. I've known her.
Yeah.
But she's great. She did a lot of film work for, Barrel of Monkeys. She did a lot of film work with Neo Futurists. A lot of film work with a lot of the storefront theater companies that I've worked with in the past. And she's great. It's so cool to see her actually. You know, she's got a. Was she there? Do you know?
I don't know. I got to see the movie before the festival.
Oh, okay. Okay.
I'm sure she is. I think I know Martin Starr was here. I'm sure she was here.
Yeah.
They got at the very least they have pretty much all the directors.
Yeah.
Are,
well,
are
her name for people Logan Kibbins, and she's great. So that's awesome. That's really, really great to hear.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, next.
Okay, Ty West has a new movie.
Yeah, I'm excited.
But it's not a horror movie.
Uh-oh. Okay.
He made a Western.
Oh, it's a Thai Western.
It's a very, all
thank
very
you.
Nice.
Thank you very much.
It is a Thai Western, yes.
Okay.
and this one, it stars Ethan Hawke as a drifter in the Old West. Him and his trusty dog comes upon a.
What's it called? What's it called?
Oh, I'm sorry. It's called In a Valley of Violence.
In a Valley of Violence.
Yes.
Okay. All right.
And he comes upon a town full of sinners and, you know, bad guys and whatnot. One of them played by James Ransone. rubs him the wrong way, and they eventually tussle a little bit. And, without telling you everything that goes on in this movie, let's just say that it's basically Ty West, John Wick.
I don't have a problem with that at all.
You shouldn't. Because plot wise, that's exactly what the movie is. But it's a lot of fun, actually. It sags a little bit in the middle, but once you get past the fact that you've kind of seen this movie before. And by the way, the father figure of the movie, the James Ransom's father, who is the town sheriff, who is trying to basically quelch this little feud that the two of them have going, is played by John Travolta.
Now, he's not wearing the same makeup that he wears in the O.J. Simpson show, is he?
No, he does not have the spray tan.
or the eyebrows.
Right, or the teeth.
Right.
None of his props in that. It's funny, has Travolta ever done a Western before?
Boy, that's a good question. I don't think so.
I don't think he has.
No, I don't think he's ever made a Western, no.
Yeah, and again, like Nicolas Cage, he's actually, he's had some poor choices over the years, a lot of straight-to-video stuff recently.
Yeah.
But he fits very well in this film, and is actually really funny.
Oh, good.
In it.
Good.
Yeah, that's a really good performance by Travolta, and Hawk is really good. Thaisa Farmiga is in it. Karen Gillan is in it. The good cast gets really violent by the end. And it's a fun movie.
Okay.
In the Valley of Violence.
In the Valley of Violence. And I'm looking at this, and it says that it's going to be released in September.
Oh, okay.
So
it
looks like it's got a release date already in September, but you saw it in Austin. All right, cool.
Yeah, it also has one of the great dog performances of all time.
One of the great dog performances of all time?
Yes.
Okay.
In fact, you can look it up. You can look this dog up online on YouTube. Apparently the dog's name is Jumpy. And apparently, what he does on YouTube is even better than what he does in the movie.
Wow!
And what he does in the movie is amazing.
Because the best dog performance of all time we just saw last Tuesday, when we saw The Thing.
Oh yes,
that dog is unbelievable. Jeb,
that's a good dog.
Jeb is the name of that dog. And Carpenter went so far as to say he's the best actor he'd ever work with. He said he hit his marks. He hit everything. They didn't even have to tell. They didn't have to shoot anything like twice. It was like one take, Jeb.
Just watch that scene where he just slowly goes down the hallway.
It's unbelievable.
The different doors. Yeah,
it's unbelievable.
Really,
and he said that was like one take.
Yep.
The dog coming into when they put him in the cage and he just sits down really slowly with all the other dogs.
Yeah,
it was like one take. He's like, yeah, it's the best actor I've ever worked with was a dog. So that's In the Valley of Violence. That's cool. All right, what do you got next?
Let's see. What do we got next here? Looking on the list. A movie I just saw tonight.
Okay.
I should talk about a movie that played Sundance. I just caught up with it tonight, called Under the Shadow.
Okay.
And this is, it's been described as, and this is going to sell you right away, it's been described as an Iranian Babadook.
Okay, I'm in.
Exactly. I don't need to say any more, really. But the story, it's set in Iran in the late 80s, right at the height of the Iran-Iraq conflict. And it's a mother who wanted to be a doctor and is, sort of had to put her dreams aside because of the oppression of women, in the religious society over there.
Mm-hmm.
And so she's, as her husband is shipped off to be a doctor, on the front lines of the war, she is left behind to fend with her young daughter. And while they're, having to dodge missiles and things, all the stuff that's going on in the city, there are also some malevolent forces invading their home.
Okay.
So you have, the Babadook references are very much earned. There's, it's kind of hard to separate the two on that scare level. However, it's the reality stuff is just as sort of scary and unsettling as the actual supernatural stuff.
Sure.
And that, I think, is what elevates the movie to something even greater. It's really sort of this really great parable about the oppression of women in that society through the religion and everything. That's all pretty much covered in the movie. It's not a film that's, you know, just jump scare kind of thing.
Yeah.
It really, it's only 80 minutes long, and it builds itself up to its big moments later in the film. But like I said, it's a nice balance between the two, and it earned the praise that it got at Sundance.
Okay. And is it subtitled?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes, it is.
All right. Okay, so that's Under the Shadow, a new horror film from Iran. All right, we're going to take a quick break, Eric, okay?
Okay.
Come back, and we'll talk about a few more movies. Eric Childress is live in Austin at the South by Southwest Film Festival, giving us a preview of a bunch of new movies that he's seen. And we'll do some more coming up right after we take this break on 720 WGN. Morning, everybody. Nick DiGilio here on 720 WGN. And we're here till 5 a.m. My dad will call in at a 4:45-ish break to tell a joke, because it's a jokey time. And we're wrapping things up here with Eric Childress, because after 3 o'clock we'll get Colin in here. And Colin and I will review the new movies on the Monday Morning Movie Reviews. Eric is giving us an update on what's happening at the South by Southwest Film Festival. Eric, let's hear from you again. What's the next movie you would like to discuss?
Okay. Well, on opening night, I actually got shut out of the opening night film, which was Richard Linklater's Everybody Wants Some.
Yeah, boy, that sucks.
But you had an hour and a half early.
Yeah, I mean, you had to know it was going to be insane. It's Linklater, it's Austin,
Right. No, so. I expected that. That's why I thought an hour and a half would be good, and I got about 25 people from the front. I got shut out.
Oh, man.
So, but that turned out to be a little bit of a blessing in disguise because I saw one of the best movies I've seen so far at the fest. And it's a film called The Other Half. And it stars Tatiana Maslany from Orphan Black and Tom Cullen, who was in the film Weekend and was on one of the seasons of Downton Abbey. And he plays a guy who for the last 5 years has been sort of still grieving from this tragedy in his family. He has a very short fuse. He goes out drinking, drives a cab and whatnot, doesn't have much of a social life. And he ends up meeting this girl played by Maslany, who's very, very outgoing, very affectionate, and they form a relationship. And as they become closer, he finds out that she is actually suffering from bipolar disorder. Mm. Now, I've seen a lot of movies just this year alone. I've seen actually way too many movies about, like, people taking road trips with, people who have handicap issues and diseases and disorders and all kinds of things. I've seen way too many of these movies this year. So I was a little trepidatious walking into this thing. But what I found was a movie that was very close to the spirit of All the Real Girls.
Mm. Wow.
Very, very much in that style. It takes the relationship stuff very seriously. It takes the disorder very seriously without making it sort of this sort of cutesy thing that has to be overcome for the two of them to be happy. It's just shown as part of her everyday existence and how it will eventually affect their relationship and whether or not it can withstand but what she's ultimately going through. And the two leads, Maslany and Cullen, are incredibly strong in this film. And the direction, the guy's name is Joey Klein, who directed the movie. I think it's his first film. Really clearly has that same visual language as early David Gordon Green. And it's striking. It's beautiful. It's heartbreaking. It was a really solid film, and I was planning to see it anyway, but the fact that I got to see it opening night because of this the snafu with the Linklater, now we get to talk about it now.
So. Wow. Let me just say this. I'm not familiar with Tom Cullen's work because I'm not a Downton Abbey person.
Right.
But do you watch Orphan Black?
Yes.
She's unbelievable, man.
She's incredible.
She is an incredible actress. The fact that, like, she has not, like, won every Emmy.
I know. It's kind of ridiculous.
It is absolutely ridiculous. She is an incredible actress. Tatiana Maslany. That's so cool that she's got a lead role. Now, is this thing, are we going to see this thing?
Hopefully. I know that they're still planning to take it to some more film festivals. I was talking to the director yesterday, And so they're still planning a sort of, you know, film festival circuit kind of thing. I hope that the fact that, you know, because I was going around telling people just like, well, Tatiana Maslany is in it. And they go, who? And then I go, Orphan Black. And they go, oh, her. You know, it's that, you know, her name itself really hasn't.
I know.
Kind of recognition yet.
Yeah, yeah.
But, you know, you say Orphan Black and people go, oh, you know.
Yeah.
And, yeah, and she has, you know, a bit of that here because she is in sort of a way, you know, kind of playing a split personality.
Right.
In a way.
Right, right.
You know, and she does it so seamlessly that, again, it doesn't feel like, you know, an overly showy performance. Like,
yeah.
she's not mugging her way through it. And even there's scenes of real intensity in this film. Mm-hmm. And I like it, the more I think about it, the more I like it.
Wow, that sounds great. That's The Other Half with Tatiana Maslany. If you've not seen her in Orphan Black, you're missing out on one of the best performances that you'll ever see on television. She's,
yep.
Well, not just one of the best, many, but you know what I
right.
mean. Okay, what's next, Eric? We got time for maybe one or two more.
Okay, well, let's talk about another good one then.
Okay.
I like to talk about the good ones. A film called Another Evil. and it sounds like a horror movie, but it's actually more of a horror comedy or more of a comedy horror movie. And it stars Steve Zissou from Togetherness.
Oh, yeah.
You watch Togetherness?
Yes,
yeah.
I do, yes.
Yeah, and he plays a homeowner that awakens one night and finds some very gross, ghostly ghouls running around his house. so he gets the family to go away, and he starts calling in some help, some paranormal help. And, of course, the first guy he calls is this ghost hunter played by Dan Bacchandal from Veep.
Yeah.
Who's one of the funniest one scene performances I've seen in quite some time. And so he shows up, and then when, you know, when things still don't quite go his way to try to get these ghouls out of the house, he calls another guy who basically sort of kind of moves in with him a bit. So you have this sort of this like Ghostbusters meets the Cable Guy kind of situation going on. And the other actor, I'm drawing a blank on his name, but if anyone out there watches Better Call Saul this season, he's the guy that calls in, that hires Jonathan Banks' Mike character to find his quote unquote baseball cards.
Mm-hmm. I don't watch the show.
Okay. Well, that'll ring a
bell. His name is Mark Proch.
That's it. Yeah.
And he was in The Office. He was a regular on Decker.
Mm-hmm.
He was in A Merry Friggin' Christmas with Joel McHale and Lauren Graham.
Oh no.
Yeah.
Okay.
So.
Well, forget about that. But
okay.
He's hilarious. He's hilarious on Saul. He's really funny in this. And that's really just sort of the apropos way to describe it: is Ghostbusters meets the Cable Guy. And it definitely leans more on the side of comedy, and then it gets into that sort of that stalker thing where he might be more malevolent than the ghost in the house.
Mm-hmm.
And it gets to the point that it doesn't quite stick the landing. It's trying to go. It doesn't quite know how far it wants to go with the ending, but it doesn't matter because the journey up to that point is really funny, and it's a good little film.
The guy who wrote and directed it has written several episodes of Silicon Valley.
Oh, well, there you go.
Yeah, so I'm already in. That's all.
Right.
So
yeah.
All right. Well, that's cool. So you've seen some interesting stuff. Do you have time for one more quick one?
One more quick one.
Yeah.
Let's see what would be good here. Okay, I'll tell you another one I like tonight. A film called And Punching the Clown. Apparently this is a sequel to a movie called Punching the Clown that played here many years ago that I didn't see.
Mm-hmm.
But this is a sequel, and apparently I don't really need to know that it's a sequel or not, but it's a story about a comedian named Henry Phillips, who is, you know, sort of a, you know, a second, third tier comedian that, you know, is been struggling and, you know, up into his 40s, trying to get recognized. And he gets a call from a television producer played by J.K. Simmons, who apparently he heard about the events of the first film that happened to him,
mm-hmm.
basically, like, destroyed this guy's career. And he wants to make a TV show about it. So the movie is this kind of almost randomly stitched together story of him still out on the road doing his thing while this television show is they're trying to find the right sort of level of what they're going to do with this television show and how they're going to present him as this sort of this tragic figure or this idiot figure and that kind of stuff. And it's really it's sort of a much more palatable entertainment, if you will. And it's actually it's really quite funny. Henry Phillips, I guess, is a real guy, plays himself in the movie. And again, J.K. Simmons is in it. Jim Jeffries is in it. Tig Notaro is in it. Is really funny. Sarah Silverman plays a radio host that's basically kind of in like narrating the film in a way.
And I'm looking at some of the other people that are in it. Clifton Collins Jr. is in it. My hero.
Yeah, it's one scene that's hilarious.
Michaela Watkins is in it. Mike Judge, we just mentioned, Silicon Valley, he's in it.
Yep.
And so that we got to break it because we got the news. But that's called "And Punching the Clown." All right, we are going to talk to you at some point during the week, right, Eric? Probably what is it? Wednesday morning, we're going to talk to you.
Yeah, Tuesday into Wednesday. Yeah.
Okay, so Wednesday morning we'll talk to you then and get another update and have fun while you're there, and I'll talk to you again soon.
Sounds good, man.
All right. Thank you, Eric. Eric Childress with a live report from the South by Southwest Film Festival. We got to take a break here. We got the news. And then after the news, Colin Suter will join me for this week's Monday Morning Movie Reviews on WGN.